Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50. My name is Shelley, and I am your host, and I appreciate you joining me today. My guest today is Lisa Lindahl, and she is the inventor, creator of the sports bra. And I went into this conversation with Lisa thinking that a man had invented the sports bra, because men invented like a regular bra, they invented tampons, you know, things like that. So it was a real eye-opening conversation for me. But the really cool part about this conversation, first of all, Lisa is just so much fun to talk to, so creative, so inspirational, insightful. And she opened up this whole world for women in sports with the sports bra, because for any of you, any women who have done sports in a regular bra, you know, it's painful. And this was invented back in the day where women typically didn't do sports. You know, they thought in the 70s, if a woman ran more than a mile, her uterus would fall out or something ridiculous. I was in middle school, junior high in the 70s, and I was really tall and they wanted me to play basketball. And I wasn't very good at it, so I stayed in band. But the point of that little story here is that we did half court. So there were 11 players on the team, five on one, you know, half of the court and five on the other half of the court. So once you got a half court, you'd pass it to the other girls. So, you know, sports really wasn't a thing when I was growing up, but Lisa opened up a whole new world of sports and performance for women. And it really became an icon for feminism. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Lisa as much as I enjoyed talking to her. But before we get to it, have you joined our Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned? Go on, check us out. All right, on to Lisa.
She's bold. She's sassy. She's a woman over 50 living a life she designed on purpose with purpose. And now, here's your host of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned podcast, Shelley Dryman.
Hey, Lisa. I am so glad that you have joined us today for this podcast episode. And I have to say, I think you have an amazing and fascinating story that I think all my women over 50 who listen to this podcast are really going to enjoy. So,
Thank you, Shelley.
Oh, you're welcome. So, first of all, Lisa, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are. You know, we'll just get the ball rolling with that.
Well, I'm definitely over 50. And right now I'm living in South Carolina, where I've been for the past 7 or 8 years, to be near the ocean, because I love the ocean.
I hear you.
It seems my claim to fame is that in way back in the 1970s, I invented the very first sports bra.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I just, you know, we were having this conversation earlier, and I guess I just assumed, first of all, that a man invented it, which is awful, but they do. They like, you know, you read about how they invent these things for women, like they invented the bra, they invented the, you know, the tampons or whatever. So, and I guess I just assumed it had been around forever. So, yeah. So tell us a little bit about that story about how you invented.
Well, you're not crazy, Shelley, to just assume that a man invented the sports bra, because in fact, most men have traditionally designed and was bras for women. And in fact, I think the sports bra has become so iconic, really, because it was so different from other bras. I mean, bras traditionally have been about making, I mean, young women today don't really realize how much bras traditionally, before the sports bra, were about making our clothes hang a certain way, making the fashions of the time look the way the designers wanted them to look. Bras were not about comfort. They were about lifting and separating and accentuating the breast. In the 50s, it was, you know, this bullet shape. In the 1920s, it was about flattening because the little boy look was in. It was never about a woman's comfort. It was often mostly about the male gaze. And what
well, I am sort of righteously indignant about that now that I know that history. I mean, they're not very comfortable to begin with.
Obviously. No, I mean, bras traditionally were not about comfort or function, with perhaps function, the exception to that being nursing bras.
Yeah.
But that was really the only functional bra that was out there. And I was a runner. I had started running in the mid 70s, which was very atypical for me because I wasn't an athletic girl or young woman, but I started running and I loved running. And the only thing that got in the way of that being a positive experience was my breast discomfort and always pulling up bra straps mm-hmm. and getting chafed. And so coming up with the idea of a bra just for running, or as we called it back then, jogging, was really just solving my own problem. but I didn't sew.
So first of all, I think it's really interesting when you talk about it being atypical of women running in the you running in the 70s. I think it was just atypical for women in general. Because when I was in the 70s, they tried to get me to play basketball because I'm really tall. And that's when we played like, you know, five girls on one side, five girls on the other side. Because, you know, heaven forbid that a girl, you know, they always thought it was like bad for women to run. So just the fact that you ran in the 70s was just fascinating. Because that didn't happen a lot.
It was a very different time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 1960s and 70s were a time of real change, a very transformational time. And living through that, you didn't really understand it. I mean, actually, we're living in transformational times now. Mm-hmm. And back in the 60s and 70s, I talk to young women now and I say, do you realize that when I was your age, when I was growing up, it was unusual for a young woman to have a credit card. You didn't have a credit card. Maybe your husband was going to have a credit card. It was like an afterthought to say, oh, do you want to have a checking account? Well, let's show you how to have a checking account.
Yes. Okay. We're probably going to go off on a tangent here, listeners. But with when I got my first job out of high school, I tell my daughter this story, who's 34 maybe. She's appalled by it, but I tell her, you know, a lot of these things that you're talking about, this was 1979. They asked me the date of my last period on my job application. Yeah. And she's like, Mom, what? That's crazy. And I'm like, well, yeah, but they could do that back then. And that was just to see if I was pregnant. So anyway, I had to bring that up. So carry on, Lisa.
So I wrote Unleash the Girls, the untold story of the invention of the sports bra and how it changed the world and me, because the sports bra became an iconic symbol of feminism. And why? Because it really did. It was, and I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't understand what I was doing at the time, but it really became one of those pivotal things that helped unleash and release a lot of these cultural things that were keeping women down. And as I said, I was just solving my own problem. I wanted to go out for a run. I didn't want to be distracted. I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't want to get hurt. And it turned out to be the right product at the right time, because this was the time, one of the big changes that was happening in the 60s and the 70s was physical fitness was becoming mm-hmm. the thing. Mm-hmm. And running was something that anybody could do. You just needed shoes. And this is when, believe it or not, athletic shoes were a new thing and were being developed. And what I realized was all a woman needed was the right shoes and, oh, by the way, this right bra. And I, you know, when we first started trying to sell this, I was very clear that it was athletic equipment. It was not lingerie. And so we sold it into sporting goods stores. And the men who were often the people responsible for whether or not to bring a product into their store or not would say, well, why do you need a special bra? And I would say, Well, you know, do you play basketball with your boxer shorts on?
You go, oh, no.
Oh, that's a great point.
But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself in this story.
No worries. So you said you didn't I know this story, but tell the listeners how you designed your first sports bra. It's quite interesting, well, actually.
It is, because it's, you know, Unleash the Girls is really not just about, you know, how I did it and how I built the business. It's really about overcoming the obstacles and the challenges that we all face every day, you know, because we all have something, and so one of my first challenges was the fact that I had this idea for a garment, but I don't sew. So what do you do? Well, my best friend from eighth grade, and you know, we were in our mid-20s now, happened to be renting a room for me that summer, because this was in the summer of 1977, and she had gotten her degree in costume design and was designing costumes for the Champlain Shakespeare Festival. This was in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
And was staying that summer in my guest room. And so in eighth grade, we had taken the same sewing class, and I got a D and she got an A+.
Well, we all have our strengths, right?
So I had written down all the things this bra had to do, and I went upstairs and knocked on her door and said, Polly, I have this idea for a bra, you know, can you help me make a bra for jogging? And she like rolled her eyes and said, oh my gosh, there is nothing. Lisa, oh no. She said, there is nothing more difficult to construct than a bra. And she said, except a shoe. And I said, why? And she said, because it's three-dimensional and has to support that way.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It turns out bras are actually engineering problems. But anyway, so we went through a lot of prototypes and I talked her into helping me, and we weren't getting very far until my husband at the time, as a joke, put on his jock strap over his head and pulled it down over his chest and said, here's your jock bra, ladies. And we thought that was so funny. And so I said, oh, let me try. And I pulled it down over my chest. And in fact, felt that the pouch on the jock strap over my breast made a really good cup. And the waistband of the jock strap was a really good rib band. So Polly, the next day, went and got two jock straps, cut them in half, sewed them back together again, had the straps on it be straps that cross them back. Anyway, she brought this Frankenstein looking thing back to me. I put it on, it went over my head, these straps crossed in the back on my back. I went for a run in it, and it was the working prototype. It needed much better fabrication and fabric and elastic and all that. But it was the construction, it was the engineering that we needed. And in fact, Polly went to New York and found the right fabric and elastic and all this other stuff. And we had a working prototype. It was the first, I tell people this now, they can't believe it. It was the first bra that ever went over the head and that had that T back, that cross back.
Razor back. Yeah.
Razor back, right.
Well, as a runner, I thank you for your invention. I love that story. First time I read it, I just like chuckled out loud. But I love that. And, you know, I had to buy a new running bra not too long ago. So my partner Steve's like, why do you need a running bra? Because I'm not very big chested. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. When those things start bouncing when you're running, it's painful, basically. So, but anyway, so as a runner, I appreciate your ingenuity and thoughtfulness in developing the sports bra for us runners.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks.
So where it obviously took hold and just went like gangbusters.
It really did. I was part-time secretary, and I had an art studio in my basement, and I was trying to make ends meet. My marriage was ending. Things were crazy. And I thought it would be a nice little business on the side that I could help me get me through my life. And I had to quit school and quit my job. And, you know, it was the right product at the right time that it just took off. And I hadn't planned to go into business. I didn't know a lot about business. And literally, it just grew like Topsy.
And you say you didn't know a lot about business, but one of the really, I think, interesting and fascinating things about your story is that you manage this company, which you say, you know, since it had millions in annual revenue, and you were living with epilepsy.
Yes.
When you were doing this. So boy, talk about going from like inventing this great product, but still dealing with not knowing how anything about a business, not knowing how to sew, which I find fascinating. And then also dealing with this debilitating issue. So how did you manage that?
Well, this is what I mean when I say we all have challenges. We all have something we have to work around and work through. And for instance, at the time, I didn't have a driver's license. So I had to be careful to always, you know, live somewhere on a bus line or find jobs I could walk to. And how I managed it was carefully and boldly. And I talk about this in Unleash the Girls. Having one of the major difficulties for someone with epilepsy is unemployment and underemployment, mm-hmm. one of the number one non-medical issues. Mm-hmm. And someone with epilepsy has seizures, and there are many, many different kinds of seizures. So that is one of the problems, because others don't know what to expect, and you can't make generalizations about epilepsy or seizures.
Yeah.
So what I did was, I mean, you have to learn self-management. You have to be able to know your patterns. You have to be willing to educate those around you. What my seizures look like. These are my warning symptoms. You know, this is what I can deal with. This is what I can't deal with. And also, what I did was I had a routine every morning. I was lucky. I understood what my pattern was. So I could honor that, which is important. And, having the support of others around me was important. And I did not always have that. And that's where self-compassion is an important thing, you know, knowing, which was not always there.
Yeah.
It's having to go to the edges of our comfort zones is another thing I talk about in my book, and relationships with others. You know, I would be on the road with sales reps because you go and call on accounts, mm-hmm. and, be in stores, and having to trust others and be vulnerable enough to say, you know, I am not well this morning. I can't go to that account with you. And I had to learn to be that open and vulnerable the hard way. Like our very first trade show the National Sporting Goods Trade Show. And we were just hiring sales reps, and here are all these men sitting in front of us to learn about whatever this new thing was, this sports bra, only we called it the jog bra. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't well, and I didn't tell I didn't have it together enough. I was having what's called an aura before a seizure, and I was trying to power through. And so standing in front of all these strange men in my shoulder padded late 70s business suit.
Yeah.
And I went down into a grand mal convulsion on the concrete floor. You know, and that was learning the hard way, not to let that happen again.
Well, I think as women too, we are often told, we think that if we're going to get in like this world of men, which typically in the 70s when you were doing this was a world of men.
In sporting goods.
Yeah.
Male dominated industry.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not always, you know, we're told like, don't, you know, you can't show weakness. You can't show vulnerability. You can't let them know you're sick. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be, oh, well, there she goes being a woman again or whatever. So kudos to you for, you know, really trying to handle that situation back in those days. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but, you know, it was definitely a different time. So.
Well, yeah. And I went through that. I went to the ladies' room. I straightened my hair and myself and took a nap and got up and went on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
And kept on.
Yeah. Yeah. So you also talk about, before we get to talking about your book and all that, one of the points that you make about in your discussion is how your idea could be worth millions, which yours was, but you have to act on it. Because there could have been a moment in your life where you said, okay, first of all, I can't sew. Second of all, I have epilepsy. So I'm just going to take these two, you know, jock straps and I'll just wear this bra forever. This will be my thing only, you know. But you really took a brave step with this idea, taking that into action.
Well, I had help.
Still, you had to get that help. You know what I'm saying? It's like you had to take this crazy idea you had for a jog bra in the 70s, you know, and get people on board with you.
Well, that part's true.
Yeah.
That part's true.
Yeah.
I believed in it. I mean, in classes I've taught about entrepreneurship or women in business, that kind of thing, I always tell people, if you're going to go into business, do it because you're passionate about something. Do it because it's in alignment with your purpose. Don't do it because you think it's an easy way to make money or it's better than going into an office or whatever. I mean, do it because you are passionate about it and it's in alignment with your purpose. And I was passionate about running. What running had done for me, it had empowered me, it had made me more creative, it had woken me up in so many ways. And somehow I didn't understand then how much the bra was an extension of that. Much later, years later, all the studies show how the combination of Title IX mm-hmm. and the invention of the sports bra really increased the number of girls and women who became physically active.
Yeah.
And that really, I'm proud of that.
Oh, you should be. I was just sitting here thinking how inspired I am by your story. I just feel like I just want to go out and like bust something out. I mean, I just am truly inspired by that. And I also want to thank you for your work on that, because my daughter, I was in sports her entire life, even through college. And I just think that sports is such a good thing for girls. And with the advent of, like you said, Title IX, and just the capability for girls to have that equal footing in lots of areas, you know, kudos to you for being a part of that. That is just truly inspiring. And on behalf of my daughter and my granddaughter, who's also in sports, you know, I never was in sports. I was a band nerd, so you know, I don't know where they get it from, but whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I didn't understand that growing up. I mean, I was a tree climber and I swam in the ocean, and I didn't get that. And so it really is important for young women to be understand their bodies, feel their bodies are strong, and it's not about the for me anyway, it's not about the competition part. It's about the understanding their bodies and being strong and being able understanding that they are able.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so important. Hey, in the moments we have left here, do you want to chat a little bit about your book and let our listeners know where they can find you? And then to everyone listening, I'll drop all this information down in the show notes as well.
I'd love to. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
The book is Unleash the Girls. The
Love that title, by the way. Love it.
Double entendre for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll even hold it up here, if I may.
Yeah.
The untold story of the invention of the sports bra and how it changed the world and me. It can be found at all the usual online retailers, as well as your local bookstore. You might have to ask them for it. I can be found at my website, which is lisalindahl.com, and I'll spell that because there's so many different ways. Spell LISALINDAHL. There's that sneaky H in there. lisalindahl.com. So you can get the book there as well. And also probably see this podcast again there. And also, I have another book that you can find on that on my website, lisalindahl.com.
Oh, cool. I didn't know you had another book. I was sent the PDF copy of your book, which I've started reading. And I, for everyone listening, I only got through like the first five pages of it, but it's really a great story. I highly recommend that. I love it, Kip. I've got too many books started at the moment, but... So
there are photographs,
yeah,
both in the book and on the website of the old days.
Oh, the old days, back in '06, right? Anything else you'd like for our listeners to know, Lisa?
Oh,
any parting words of wisdom?
Stay well. Stay happy. Stay well. Stay positive.
Yeah, that's good advice, especially. In the days of the coronavirus, where we're all trying to figure a new way out. If anyone has any questions, Lisa, do you mind answering?
I don't know. Oh, I'd love to answer questions.
Jamie or Janelle, do you guys have any questions? Janine, I mean, do you guys have any questions? Gals have any questions? I guess not. And I think I've run out of questions. So I'm going to stop recording now.